you know, flying out to Saudi for Tyson's next fight, tripping around the world with each other, doing business, and then juggling the family. And this is what I talk about in my book. It's the juggling of the daily life. Sometimes it's real quiet and calm, sometimes it's not.
Paris, what's harder, looking after 7 kids or one Tyson?
One Tyson, 1,000,000%. I've got no control over Tyson. I've got some rule over the kids. But yeah, Tyson's definitely a handful, let's put it that way.
So 7 kids, yep, day and night, keeping you up, are, yes, easier than Tyson?
Yes, because I'm guaranteed to have a normal basis for the kids. I know that they get up in the morning, they get dressed, they have their breakfast, they're smiling, they're happy, they go to school, and then they come home and they're happy, and they get fed and go to bed. Tyson, on the other hand, is a different story, to put it that way. He gets up some days and you don't know who you're waking up to.
Well, can you give us a little bit of insight into that?
Insight into that is Tyson gets up some days and is, let's just say, not the happiest person. And then other days he's like the Duracell bunny that's excited and ready to go for everything. And then you've got him where he wants to train and he wants to live life to the full. And then you've got Tyson that wants to lock himself in a room for 2 days and not talk to people. So you've got different variations of someone to live with.
Mm. And which one do you prefer?
The mix in between. the middle man in the middle there.
Isn't that a different man though?
Yeah, just slightly. But yeah. No, it's a little mix of the two. So it's nice to have that flat line in the middle that doesn't last very long. But that's the one that's quite easy to live with.
And you sometimes get that?
We sometimes get that. Yeah. And then you peak and then you get the lows. But I think that's the variation of someone who's got bipolar and different mental health issues. So anyone who knows somebody, a partner, a friend, a relative who's got them issues, they know what it's like to be in the mix with it.
Mm. And how do you manage your own mental health and well-being when Tyson is really struggling with his? Because it must be hard on you.
I am a really kind of can-do, positive type of person. So I think we was placed together for that reason, because things don't really faze me. Things don't, you know, the heavier the load, the more I strengthen up. I'm just that kind of person, and I'm a very much can-do, will-do attitude. So I think we work well together for that reason.
Yeah. So I think the nation fell in love with you with the documentary. I've got about 120 staff, and at least, 30 of them, Katie, have been messaging, all excited, me meeting you, sending me questions.
Right.
So, did it go bigger than you expect, this documentary, and how do you feel about now being super famous?
I think it done really well. I don't think I didn't expect it to do well, but I didn't expect it to push me so much in everyone's eyes. I think we knew that the show would make numbers, let's put it that way. I knew it would do good, but I never knew that the country would sort of, like, silly as it sounds, fall in love with us, because I keep getting this amazing feedback. Everyone comes up to us smiling and happy and telling us how much they love the show. And the only thing I am finding now is that where I could always sort of, like, step back and, you know, say hello to people knew me, I've found that with the show I'm sort of pushed forward into the level of Tyson's fame. And it's a hard thing to kind of swallow, because I've obviously watched it. I've been there firsthand with Tyson, but I could always, when a crowd of people came around, I could kind of walk away, where now it's equally on par, and it's crazy, actually. I don't quite know how to deal with it, but, you know, it's nice that it's from a good point. Everybody who comes over is all happy and kind, and they like what they've seen, so it's not a bad point of view.
Mm. And do you ever get time to be alone, to hear your own thoughts?
Sometimes. At the moment, no, because I have a newborn who is 3 weeks old and is very dependent. He's in this room right now. She can maybe hear in the background. And I am finding that at the minute it's hectic, it's full on. I've got my book just been released, the show's just been released, Tyson's in training camp for his new fight. We've just had the new baby, so it's a really manic time at the minute. But I kind of like it that way. Silence doesn't sit well with me. I'm not used to silence. Having a busy home that I've always had, I don't find sitting quiet is for me. So if I do get time to myself, it's more like girl time, you know, maybe go to a walk, maybe go to the gym, maybe spend some time with the kids that I've planned and wanted to do. I don't really just sit quietly idle by myself.
So you like being busy?
Yeah, I like being busy. I've always found that I work well being busy, and I'm trying to sit quiet and still is more my time. If I was sitting still, I'd probably half be doing work on my phone and then watching a movie with the other eye.
Mm. So can you take us through a day in the life of Paris?
Yes, a day in the life of me. So you've got two different sides of our life. So you've got the normal 9-to-5 mundane life, which would be get up in the morning, Tyson would be at home, we'll wake the kids up, we'll get them dressed, get them washed, Tyson do the school run, come back, cup of coffee, nursery run. I'd do my cleaning up, I'd do my chores that I do at home, probably catch up on a bit of business. Then it's school pickup, dinner time, bath time, bedtime, and it's 8 p.m. Then you sit down, me and Tyson will probably chat about the day, carry on. It's very, very more like mundane, busy but quiet, normal life, where then you've got the other side of the roller coaster, which is Tyson away in camp, me doing trips to London, media days, work days, book tours, you know, flying out to Saudi for Tyson's next fight, tripping around the world with each other, doing business, and then juggling the family. And this is what I talk about in my book. It's the juggling of the daily life. Sometimes it's real quiet and calm, sometimes it's not.
And which life do you prefer out of those two? Like if you could only have one life?
No, home life. If I had to pick, I would rather have home life than crazy life, because my main thing in my life is my kids and my family and Tyson and being at home.
Mm.
So to me, I would pick that any day over having to run up and down and do kind of things like this.
Yeah.
But if we're privileged enough to juggle it and make it work, I've always said, whilst it works for me, any business I do, I always put the kids first, not to sound like, you know, the greatest mum. But it's just that I never wanted to be a celebrity. I never wanted to be a famous person. I never wanted to sort of be in the position that I'm in. It was just the fact that I married somebody who then came to fame. Evidently, it brought me to it. So to me, my main priority is looking after my kids, looking after my home. And if I can do other things like this and enjoy it, and, you know, I've got a fan base out there that want to see more into my life, then I do. But when that day causes interference in my home, then I wouldn't be doing it.
Mm. So, 7 children, newborn there. How did you fit in writing a book?
When I
were you like writing it with,
up,
typing
yeah.
it with one hand?
Yeah, basically, that's what I do most days. I did my first book a couple of years ago, and when I brought the first book out, I kind of said, you know what, I probably won't do another one. I brought my first book out because I thought it might help some people. Like, as I said, Tyson's had mental health issues. Tyson's lived a very open life about that. And I thought, as the person on the other side, I think it really helps people to discuss that and to say how I live through it and how I support him and how we work as a family. And then evidently everyone sort of looked at, I thought my life was normal, you know, having 6 kids, having business, having home life, having, you know, everything organized. I'm a very organized person. I like everything in its place. And people then start to ask me, how do you do that? So that's how the next book came out. And I just juggled it. I find if you make time, you can have time. So wherever you want it, you can make time to do anything you want to do. Like, my life is very busy and it's busy all day, but I do everything I want to do. So yeah, I made time to do my book.
Mm. And was having the Netflix following you around, was that quite invasive on your time?
No, because we lived our own life and they filmed us.
Right.
There wasn't times when there wasn't stage situations. It was like, this is our life and you're following it. So that's how it's got to be. Tyson was evidently clear. He was like completely, where I would understand, like, give us 5 minutes, we just need to set up a camera. He didn't understand that. So to me, it was, they followed our life. So it wasn't intrusive. It didn't seem to stop anything that was going on.
And would you do another one?
Probably. At the moment, we're talking about it. We're talking about doing another show. But Tyson was in retirement when we first done the first Netflix show. He isn't in retirement anymore. So he's very busy doing his thing. And he did say to me, you know, oh, just you do it. You know, you just carry on. But it doesn't work that way. And I didn't want to do something on my own if we're not doing it together. Because, again, it's not something I sought out to think, oh, I want to be a, reality star or, you know, I don't really know. It's crazy. I don't know how you're meant to take when you turn on your Netflix and you see your face. I don't know how you're meant to.
Nor do I.
No, it's a really strange situation. So, like, when it came out, it was like, okay, this is bigger than we thought. Because at the time, it was like, right, cameras are coming. We're going to film a show. It's with Netflix. Okay. But then when it was actually out and it was getting aired and it was like, we're on Netflix. We're a big TV show that has hit number one all different places. And yeah, it's a strange thing to kind of comprehend.
Mm. Did you actually watch it? You sit
yeah,
and watch it?
Yeah, we watched it. Tyson binged watched it. Tyson was like loving himself completely. Where I was like, again, keeping one eye on the telly, one eye on the kids. But yeah, we watched it in... We'd watched it, obviously, prior to it coming out.
Yeah.
We'd seen the clips and the editing and how it was going together. And then when it came out, it's a whole different story because it's all laid out in front of you.
Mm.
So, yeah, we watched it as the same day that everybody else was watching it.
Mm. And watching it, did you feel like it was a true reflection of how you are?
Yeah, I think it came out really clear. I know we had a great team behind us anyways because the people that we worked with, some of them we'd worked with before, and they... we knew there wasn't a hidden agenda, you know? We said, like, this is our life, please film it, you can go ahead, you know, don't make it something it's not, and don't take away from it. And I think that's exactly what come out.
Have you had any problems since then with, like, sort of security and maybe too many people knowing you and knowing where you are?
We don't really go very far, so in our little bubble of Morecambe, no, we're finding
which
it.
You've put on the map now in the world.
Oh, I know. It's even getting busy. It's even getting busy. Like, we go to our local now and it's like, right, everyone's here. But it's, yeah, in our bubble, we don't find that it's not crazy. It's not busy. I know there's a lot of influx of visitors coming there. It's definitely evident. But we find there we're pretty secure and safe and we know everybody there. So that, no. But when we go out, like today being in London, being in Manchester, going shopping, I'm finding it a lot more, people are, don't want to say invasive, but nobody seems to get, like, I'm a mum, I've got kids, I'm just doing my normal routine, I'm just going shopping, and I am finding a lot more people's noticing us now.
Mm. Do you ever not just want to put a cap on and a baggy tracksuit?
See, I can do that, but yeah. Tyson can't. So Tyson hasn't been able to do that for years either. So we mostly, family days out consist of, like, walking in lakes, walking at fields, you know, camping, out the way sort of situations. That's what we do as a family. But we couldn't go shopping on a weekend. We can't go to Alton Towers. We can't go to a theme park as a family. Because, I mean, we was going to Disneyland once and I was like, right, my husband gets highly recognised, so can we sort this out? And they was like, yeah, just tell him to put a cap on. I was thinking, you don't know Tyson. You clearly do not know. So yeah, because of his height, he's always been noticed.
Yeah.
So even when we was kids and teenagers going out, people used to stop and go, hey, mate, how big are you? You know, like, they're automatically drawn to him before all the other stuff.
Mm.
So there's no hiding him.
No. So this is one from my mum.
Okay.
So my dad has bipolar disorder.
Yes.
And my mum's lived with that for 20 years.
Yep.
And so, yeah, could you just sort of share any tips you've got supporting people with mental health issues? You know, how to sort of handle it for the best for them, but also keep your own sanity,
stability,
if you like. Yeah.
I can't say I've got the right answers because obviously everybody's different. But I think supporting that person would be, talk to them to get help, medical help. That's the first thing that you really need to try and get someone. If you get them in that chair and get that diagnosis, and I think that really helps the situation.
And that's happened with Tyson,
Tyson. Like, all the years prior to that, there was ups and downs and there was never really the answer why. I think once you had an answer why, it really helped. Then after that, for me, it's... Don't, when Tyson's in a low day and a quiet day, you know, I don't try and pull him out of it. I don't try and push, you know, I kind of let him ease his way and just sort of ignore the situation, but just continue with life as normal. That's what I find works. So just for instance, if we're at home, Tyson's having a quiet day, we had a plan to go to the park, then I would be like, you know, I'm going to the park, I'm going to take the kids, and if you want to join me, you can do. If you don't, you don't. And I think, you know, then stepping out and walking away, and if he follows, it sort of lifts it, where if I tried to push it, like, you are coming, you know, you need to get up, you need to move, you need to do this. I didn't find that ever worked with Tyson. But everybody is different. And then also, I mean, just be there for them, you know, let them talk to you, let them talk it through. And if they don't want to talk, leave them alone. I've found that works as well.
And do you have any outlets yourself?
I don't know. I don't find I need any. I find I'm a pretty stable person. So I find for me, just in the book, I talk about me time, and my me time would be, you know, going to the gym at one point. I'm not gymming now because I've just had the baby, but I joined it last year and I found that was a great thing for me. You know, a bit of exercise, walking, gym, things like that. I love doing that. Then I found that a girls' night out was great. I think it is pure therapeutic. You can't relate, but it is good. It is very good to go out with fellow, you know, other women who are in similar situations, you know, mothers, working, whatever, and you can sort of vent, and it's just mindless gossip sometimes, and sometimes it really matters. Yeah. And I find that helps. And yeah, things like that, little things, is my sort of outlet. But I've never found that I need a big release from daily life.
No. Many people are starting to say that women are better at talking things out than men who hold things in. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, I can go for a coffee with Tyson and all the guys in camp and not one of them will say three words. And you're sitting there thinking, like, well, we've come out for a chat. Is anyone going to have a chat? But, you know, that's, women can just, you know, most women find it easy to conversate and keep talking and ramble on. And, you know, even if it's mindless conversation, I find it helps and it's good for you. Where maybe in male worlds, it's not as much. But I don't know, sometimes you can get Tyson on a subject and he'll ramble on for 3 hours. So I don't know. I can only input what I've seen. And I think possibly it could be true. Females talk and communicate better.
Mm. And was it therapeutic for you to write the book? Did you feel getting the words out was good for you?
No, because as I say, I feel like a normal, strong person any road. So not normal, not being the word, but like a, yeah, I don't find that I need to get anything out or anything off my chest. I don't have that kind of build up. No, for me, putting this out there was more for the for my fans, for people who's asked me, how do I do it? So people asking me the question, the easiest way for me to get it out there in the masses was to put it in a book.
Mm. Do you think the Furies are now as big as the Kardashians?
Probably not.
Really?
I don't know. In the UK, yes, but I don't know. I don't think of it that way. I don't know. If they are, all hell be let loose. But no, I'm not sure. Maybe they are. I mean, Tyson is probably one of the most famous people on the planet right now.
Yeah.
For years, people have been asking me where I buy my watches. Many of you may know I'm a watch collector, I'm a watch investor, and those as an asset class have done me very well in the last 15 years. I have never shared where I source my watches from or my watch dealer until now. My watch dealer used to be a professional footballer for Manchester United, and he formed a watch brand called Broadwalk. And he sources the higher end brands like Rolex, Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe and Richard Mille. I trust him, I've used him for many years, and recently we've done a partnership. Hence I'm inviting you, if you want to start investing in watches and protect your money from the banks and inflation, to check out Broadwalk. That's Broadwalk. And the website is broadwalkgroup.com. The email is sales@broadwalkgroup.com. And please don't share this, but his number is 07496 878153. Obviously, only message him if you're serious about buying and investing in the higher-end watches. People have been asking me for years, and for the first time ever, you can get access to my watch team.
And yeah, I don't think I've never watched the Kardashians, never ever watched it, so I don't know. I don't think we could relate. Seeing the little clips that I've seen, I don't think it would be in relation to our family life. I think it'd be very vastly different.
Well, it's on now, so maybe you could binge it. Well,
what, 20 episodes?
There's a quote in the Netflix series which I loved almost as much as life. I think this is just brilliant. I'd like to for you to explain it a bit. So you said, and I'm going to quote you word for word.
Oh, this sounds lethal.
Money might not make you happy, but it pays for 4 hours of ironing.
Ah, yes. Did I say that on the show?
You said that word for word on the show as there was a big pile of ironing about to go out.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, money doesn't make you happy. What are your thoughts on that?
Money can't make you happy. I can guarantee that. The reason being, with or without it, I've been happy most of my life.
So you're not any happier now with money?
No, probably got more problems now. When they say more money, more problems, that's a saying, that's true as well. So for me, I've been happy with it, been happy without it, and that's the truth. For Tyson, he has been very, very, very unhappy with plenty of it. And I've watched that. And I've watched Tyson at the lowest points of his life, and money can't buy him out of that. So to me, money can't buy happiness in any which way. You could be the richest person in the world and have no happiness at all. So it's one of them. It doesn't hurt. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and lie, but it definitely doesn't make you happy. And as I say, me and Tyson started out with very little, just normal, two kids. And we've always said, if we lived in a cardboard box and we had each other, I know that sounds so cringe, but we did always say it, and we still say it now, we'd still be happy in a cardboard box. So I don't know, like I say, it can buy 4 hours worth of ironing, but it doesn't make you happy.
So are you saying it gives you more convenience?
It can give you some convenience. It can make things easier in some ways. But as I say, the truth is you have a lot more problems. The more...
Like what?
Well, you know, I don't know. The more money you have, the more... I don't know if we really can go into it, but what you've got, people are always trying to take. I can guarantee you that. And, you know, you're always thinking of security. You're thinking, like, people know your situation and you're wondering, like, is your kids safe? Is your home safe? Mm. You've got people who can come for no reason constantly asking for something. There's definite complications that come with it.
So you'd consider going back, no money, just...
Yeah, if I woke up tomorrow and we didn't have anything, wouldn't make no difference. No. Just start again. You know, I'm not saying I don't want to be in the situation we're in. I'm not saying that, but what I mean is it would neither change nor break or make what life we have.
Mm.
You know, I've got my husband, I've got my health, I've got my kids. And if we didn't have anything tomorrow, then we'd just start fresh.
Yeah. And what's your secret to maintaining a good relationship over a long period of time? Because I've been with my wife nearly 20 years, and it seems like... Thank you. We should say that to her, probably. But it seems that less people are prepared to stick it out now.
Yeah, I was saying this just recently, that a lot of people think... I mean, when we'd done the show, 99% of it was great feedback. People loved it. People liked the openness. People liked the emotions that they saw, and they liked the fact that we was real. But there was a small percentage that I found was saying things like, you know, oh, he doesn't appreciate you, or you're making his mental health excuses. You know, all different negative things that I can't even think of them, because they literally went in one ear and out the other, because it's not real life to believe that a relationship is going to be sunshine and roses every single day. It's not possible. And I think the youth of today and our generation are very, very in one minute, out the next. They take a relationship and they're all in love and they all want to be together forever, and they'll get married, and 5 minutes later, you know, it's, oh, I don't love him no more. I'm getting divorced. Mm. Can't stick him. You know, this kind of attitude. And to me, you know, marriage means something, and to be together and support one another and have each other's back is a big thing.
And why do you think people are just giving up at the first opportunity now?
I don't know, because I think they're all under this false belief, this kind of, like, you know, social media false image of a husband coming back or a boyfriend coming with 1,000 red roses in the back of a Mercedes G-Wagon with a teddy bear the height of the Eiffel Tower.
You've just busted my next move.
Oh, sorry. I'll tell her it was a surprise. Yeah, yeah. But this here is not real. That's a one-off. That's a moment that's nice in our day. But then the next day, you're sat in your pyjamas having an argument over who made the coffee or who didn't make the bed.
Mm.
You know, that's normal life. So for everybody to be fed this sort of image that everything's perfect and everything should be romantic and everything should be wonderful all the time. It's not true, and it can't be possible. I think I've said in the book that a relationship is given and taken, and you know, different things, you know, it's nice still to say, oh yeah, you keep the romance alive. Me and Tyson will try and get date nights. We'll do, you know, once a week, take the time with each other and little things like that. But you can't expect it to be perfect all the time.
Mm.
And I think that's what marriage is. Marriage is giving and taking a little bit, having each other's back, supporting one another, and through thick and thin.
Mm. And on the note of social media, what's your plan with your kids and how much you'll allow them to be on social media?
It is a hard discussion. I find that with my kids, they've got to understand that they are so much more in the light of people's eyesight. You know, like so many more people are watching them and viewing them, and there's so much more criticism on them than just a normal kid who's opened up an Instagram. So for me, I don't want to put them in that situation too early. Venezuela had Instagram a couple of years ago. My dad opened it. You know, my dad thought it was a great idea until he got a couple of months later and Venezuela looked older and, you know, started getting comments from other male attention. And that was the end of that, which evidently, obviously, a 12-year-old, it's not right. But she's 14 now. And I think we're talking about possibly, you know, letting them have social media when they're a bit older. But at the minute, I don't feel like they're ready for that kind of attention. And anything they do obviously comes back on them because people are watching.
Mm. Is it true you turned down I'm a Celebrity?
There is truth in that it was discussed, but the fact that the baby was brand new and I probably wouldn't go in the jungle anyway.
What, like ever?
Probably not. And they never say never, but I don't think, one, I would do rubbish. I am squeamish and I don't like bugs in any which way. Two, I don't think I'd leave the kids for that amount of time. Mm. Like, I think, I don't know how many weeks it is. I don't know if it's 2 or 3 weeks, but there's no way I'm going to leave the kids for that amount of time.
Yeah.
So I couldn't see it would ever happen for me.
And do you think you could or would ever have any more kids?
I'd never say never. You know what it is? After Athena, the one before that, Tyson said we wasn't having no more. He got really freaked out the fact that she'd been in hospital and she was really unwell. And then he said, no, he said, anything could happen to you, anything could happen to the babies, and no, let's not bother. And then I wanted another one. So we went again, we got another baby. And then Tyson said the same thing again, but then he contradicts himself because he'll go turn around to me one day and say, like, you know, we'll have 12. You think, like, no, we're not going
to
get 12.
He doesn't have to look after them.
No. But saying that, when he's at home, he's really hands-on dad. He is really good when he's back at home. But obviously there is times when he's not there.
Mm.
And then it is all down to me.
Mm. I mean, I have two and I retired, well and truly retired. What is it like having a lot of children?
It is probably not much different to having maybe three, because I found when I had two kids, I had like everything perfect and everything was easy and I could take them anywhere and go to any restaurant, and that worked really well. And then I had the third one and everything went out of whack. It was totally different then, and I had to up my game completely. So then the chaos has just rolled on.
Right, so above three, the chaos is virtually the same, is it?
Yeah, I really do believe that, because if I'm packing, I've got to do it like, if I'm laying out four out of lots of clothes, I may as well lay out five, you know, six, seven.
Yeah.
It's all there. If I go on holiday, I've got to pack in less to no time, because everything we do is last minute.
Yeah.
And then I've got to pack like, well, there's nine of us in my family now. And then say we go for 10 days, that's 90 pairs of underpants. That's 180 pairs of socks.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. So everything has to be regimental. And I usually try and fit it in three cases. You know, but when you really do the maths and do the time, but if you're laying out four or five sets of clothes, you may as well lay out seven.
And did you find, did you ever have any sort of, you were very organised and a bit OCD, and then when you had a certain amount of kids, you just sort of relaxed a bit? Did you find that?
No, I probably got worse.
Oh, you got more OCD?
Yeah, more on the ball, because I find that the life I live, if I'm very organised underneath, then I can carry on with everything I'm doing. So if I need to pack today, I can pack today and leave tomorrow. And that's because all the cupboards are all organised, you know. Everything's where it should be. There's nothing what I can't find. If I need a pair of shoes, I know where they are. If I need a pair of socks, I know where they are. If I need the purple towel with the blue spots, it's on the top left-hand corner. And I know this.
Tyson's never lost. How do you think it would be, he would be, if he did?
That is something I'd never like to see. So, one, I would never like to see my husband lose in the ring, just because it's bad enough to see him get hurt or hit in the ring. Two, I don't know how that would sort of affect Tyson's mental health.
Mm.
Because Tyson is very much a winning attitude and he's always won. Everything he does, he wins. If he plays football, I swear if he went out there against David Beckham, he would win him, because he's just got this competitive, seriously strong nature to win. And I'd never like to see that.
No. And in the documentary, obviously, you were quite open that you wanted him to stay retired. Do you think you would ever keep continuing to encourage him to retire?
Yeah, 100%, because I just see that Tyson is getting older. He's 35, and it's not a sport for older men. So there is a day when Tyson will have to retire, and it's got to be in the next 3-4 year maximum. So he has to hang up, and he's got to come home and just be at home on a permanent basis.
Mm.
But I don't know what Tyson will do to fulfill that.
The thought of him retiring, from his perspective, does that excite you or scare you?
For Tyson to retire would be good for me and the kids. I think it would be bad for him, I do. And I think until he finds something to fulfill his, you know, that time and that energy that he puts into it, and I don't think there will be anything out there for him to do. To fill
really?
That. No, I don't. I don't think anything will ever fill that. But I think he has to come to the realisation that you can't box forever and you have to find something, whether it's one thing or numerous things, to put the effort into. And it'll never feel the same. It'll never be, how can you match going into Wembley Arena with 90-odd thousand people cheering your name? You can never replicate that in any situation. So he has to understand that it's not possible and then find something just to enjoy, even if it's on a smaller level.
Yeah, we just watched the Beckham documentary, and some of the big footballers like Eric Cantona said that the adrenaline of those huge crowds is an addiction. Mm. And it was really hard to come back to normal life, because it's like you're an addict coming off a drug. Can you see that in Tyson?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I could believe that, and I can see that in sort of how, not in day-to-day life, but how Tyson lights up on fight night. You know, he doesn't get one inch of nerves, not the slightest. He's never, ever nervous. You see boxers walk to the ring, they look like deer in headlights. Tyson is enjoying and taking in every moment of it. And everybody there's no nerves, it's just pure enjoyment. He loves boxing. He loves what he does.
Mm.
And that is the truth of it.
Mm. What would you do if all 7 of your kids wanted to be professional boxers?
I'd cry.
I mean, maybe not your little one yet, but...
Yeah. I would... I just dread the thought of my kids being boxers. I know when Venezuela, she's the oldest girl, when she was a little girl, she used to, you know, play boxing with her dad and punch his hands, and he used to say, she'll be the next Leila Ali. And then she got punched in the nose one day and she said, I don't want to punch. She didn't like it no more. That was the end of it. So then now I've got four boys, and they, I don't think the girls will do it, because I know the little one again, she's real girly.
Hmm.
So I think if the boys was going to do it, I think it'd be horrible to watch, because I've watched Tyson box all these years and it's not nice. But I remember his little brother, who was the baby brother of the family, Yui, he boxed. And when Yui was boxing, I'd seen him grow up from being 8 or 9 year old. And it was even worse to watch him, because he was the young brother. He was the kid. So he was like my baby brother. And I'd watched him grow up and I was watching him box. And it was like watching a kid, you know, get hit. And it wasn't nice then. So no. If it was my kids, I'd be terrible. And I'd be the loudest mother at ringside, screaming and shouting. And there'd be some bad abuse going to some little children fighting them. So yeah, I don't like the thought of them boxing, but they might do, they might not.
Yeah. And would you veto it, or would you ultimately let them do what they wanted to do?
I'd only let them do what they wanted to do. It's down to them. If they want to do it, then they can. we've said we'll never push them into doing it. I do think there's great discipline in the boxing gym. So even if they've never done it professional, just to learn and train and get into that mindset is really good for the youths of today. I do think it's beneficial to them. So I'd like them maybe to do it for a health side of things, but for to actually compete, I wouldn't push them to it.
So I have a question. There's a lady in my staff called Jodie, and she asked this question. How do you have time to look so beautiful?
Do you know what? I find, I spoke about this and it's about me time in the book and how I look after myself. And I don't really do a lot. I think I was blessed to be kind of slim, which was a good thing. And then after that, it's
But you do go to the gym though. So.
Well, I started that last year.
Right.
But I had five kids before that. And I never, ever had a moment to myself to do that. But I enjoyed the health side of it. But no, I didn't. I wasn't a gym person. I like it. As of last year, I've decided I'm a gym person, but I wasn't before that.
Yeah.
And as in for looking after myself, I don't know. I think a little bit of makeup on a morning, I think that helps. I'm not saying a full face, but a little bit of makeup, a bit of pride in your appearance. I do believe in that. So I think, you know, dress tidy, get up. You don't need to be glam. You don't need to be done up, but, you know, put on something tidy, your jeans, a jumper, put a little bit of makeup on, a bit of lip gloss, brush your hair. Just a bit of self-pride. I think that goes a long way just to get up and, you know, I don't know. I couldn't say. I think it'd be a bit vain to sit here and say, yeah, I'm so beautiful because, but I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for that. Who spends the most money, Paris or Tyson?
Well, I run the home. So I probably spend the most money because I pay all the bills and do all the organisation, do the shopping, do the food shop. That's a lot of money wasted there.
Yeah.
Well, it's not wasted, it feeds the family, but that's quite a lot. But
I mean, my wife noticed how many Chanels you had. She was like, ooh.
Yeah, but to be fair, most of them was gifts from Tyson.
So he spent the money.
He spent the money.
Yeah, but he spent it on you.
He spent it on me. That was after, most of the time, after a fight, he used to treat me to something nice and... Yeah,
was that just to butter you up so he could do another one?
Probably. But I'm not really a big spender. I'm not really one. I don't go shopping a lot. I don't really like shopping.
Why not?
Because I don't know. I just never really liked shopping. I never was that type of girl. I like to go for food. I like to go out with the girls. I like to go out with Tyson. I like to take the kids places. But as in, like, for shopping, no, I'm not a big shopper. But I think neither one of us are big spenders. We really ain't. I don't know what we're doing with what we've got because neither one of us is big spenders. Like, we have, we don't go very far. We don't do a lot. I think holidays, we like to go on different holidays, we like to take the kids with us abroad. But we're not big spenders.
John Fury.
Yes.
Like, what's he really like? Because he's a scary man who's had a lot of fights with his bare fists. But he's also, I mean, I've had the pleasure of interviewing him twice. He's very emotional. I think he's some compassion there. What is he really like?
He is as loud and boisterous and scary in real life. But underneath it, he's just a soft man. He's not like, he looks it, he sounds it. Like, he walks in and goes, can I have a cup of tea? And you go, but the truth is, he's just a good guy. He's a father, he's a grandfather, he'll come in, play with the kids, you know, he'll have a visit, he'll chat with the children. Yeah, he is, he ain't really what you see, because when you see him, you probably see him in like an interview and he's all irate and that's fight mode. And, you know, all of the Furies, they all have fight mode. Fight mode is serious and it's intense and it's loud and it's aggressive. And then obviously you've got them at home and it's like Tyson at home. He's a gentle giant.
So he's never flipped a table at home?
Never. No. He's barely raised his voice at home. I've actually never heard him raise his voice at home.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never heard Big John shouting or... He's actually quite calm when you think about it. He'd be the one to sort of say, now, son, be sensible. There, you know, he is more calm. And actually, that's quite strange when I think about it. Yeah, I've been married 18 years. 15 years, been together for 18 years, and I've never heard him raise his voice once.
Wow. But he's quite happy to flip a table in front of a crowd.
As I say, I think that's fight mode. I think that's the emotions is high. I think they're all tense. I've seen a few of these videos. They're quite crazy. Quite crazy. But they, yeah, I think
You should edit a bit in at this point.
Yeah, I've seen them. They are intense. But I think that's a different situation. That's a different person to, you know, the granddad that comes around seeing the kids.
Mm. Do you have any regrets?
No.
None at all?
No. Nope. I don't think you can regret. I think I'm very happy with where I am in my life now. I've been very happy most of my life. And, yeah, I don't have regrets because I think everything that's happened has brought us here.
Mm. Has there been any lesson you've learned in life which was maybe the hardest lesson to get?
Learned lessons. Yeah, I think in a relationship you learn things about one another, and I think you grow with that, and that helps your relationship. So yeah, I've never regretted anything, and I don't think you get lessons like, oh, I've learned that and I won't do that again. But I think you learn things as you grow up. I think obviously I started as a kid, and you learn and you grow with it. So yeah, I can't pick anything out, but I think you do grow with a relationship, and I think you learn to be with that person.
And the future, maybe one thing you're really excited about for the future and one thing you're maybe scared about for the future.
Excited about. I'm excited to see where my kids end up and what they do in their life. I'm also scared to death to see where the kids grow up and what they do with their lives. You know, that's one of my main concerns. Anything else is trivial. Everything else is trivial. It's up and down. The main thing is now I'd like my children. I've got 7 of them, so someone's got to be the dud of the family, haven't they? But I'm hoping that they all grow up and they just find what they want to do in life, and they're all happy and healthy and, you know, do what they want to do.
Mm. There was another question that I was asked by one of my staff members, and it was about the home. Do you get any help? You know, you said you have someone who does the ironing. Do you get any help around the home?
No, not really. I'm kind of, like you said, I'm not OCD, but I like things the way I like them. So if a friend come in and she was helping me fold the washing, I'd refold it and fold it the way I wanted to. So I'm a bit like that.
So there's no point.
No, there's no point. So things like that, I'm on my own jobs at home and I like to do that. You know, I've got a babysitter who comes and watches the kids if I'm going out with Tyson, or if I need a hand on a school run, like if I'm busy here in London and such. But no, not really. I like to do most things myself because that's what I wanted to do.
Mm. And what have you got coming up that you can tell us about?
Oh, don't know if I can tell you.
Give us something.
No, just watch this space. There's always something different coming in the future, and we're always busy, put it that way.
Surely there's
very vague, very vague.
A little scoopy scoop.
No scoops. Tyson's talked about his next fight, and as in for myself, I'll watch this space.
Yeah. Okay. And the book, can you tell us a bit about some things in it that you think we should all know about?
Do you know, like, everything we've just
Sorry,
been talking
just to interrupt.
About.
We're with the same publisher.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
They like the best. No, we, in the book, I basically talk about most of the things we've just talked about, you know, running my home, living with Tyson, making the romance last. Not that I know exactly how to do it, but it's working so far. And yeah, just looking after the kids, school runs, different tips and hacks on how I sort of run my day-to-day life.
Mm. And do you think we're sort of in this movement right now, aren't we, where a lot more women want to be career-based and independent rather than traditional and stay at home? What are your thoughts on that?
I think everyone's got to do what suits them and what they want to do. To me, I knew from being a young age, I always wanted to be a mum. It was top of my list. I did go to college and I studied to do beauty therapy, and I got like right through to level 3 to run my own business and everything. But that was always my back plan, because I knew what I wanted to be a mum and I wanted to be a mother. That was what my main plan in life was.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Last one's next.
Yeah, and yes, that's what that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I think everyone's got to do what suits them. I don't think nobody should look down on a career woman who wants to be in the business and be in offices or whatever she wants to do. No one should look down on a mother who is at home looking after her children. Each job is very hard. And I think some people just take it away from a mother or a woman who is working or whatever situation you're in, or if you're juggling both. You know, I think everyone's got to do what suits them.
Mm. So this show's called Disruptors. Have you disrupted what it means to be a mum?
No, I haven't disrupted it. I think I've probably backed it up a little bit. I've brought it to the table and said, this is what it takes to be a mum, and you know what, keep going forward. And it's not always perfect. It's not always the right way, but you'll find your way either way.
Mm. And the book, anywhere on the internet we can get it, Amazon, Audible?
You can get it on Audiobooks. You can get it on Amazon. It's available in all big bookstores, and it's also available in supermarkets.
And where can we follow? I mean, probably the whole world follows you, but where do you update on social media?
I am on Instagram. Yeah, Paris Fury 1. That's where I usually am. That's where everything goes out.
We're done. We're all good.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you.